Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Scientists have long been documenting the melting of polar ice caps. It's happening all over the globe. Over the past 100 years, the number of glaciers in Glacier National Park has gone from 150 to 30. The snow atop Mount Kilimanjaro has decreased 80% in the same time. Scientists predict over the past three decades alone, they say over the past three decades alone, Arctic sea ice has declined by 10%. Now, the impact of melting polar ice is being felt far away from the Arctic tundra, even here in South Florida. Dr. Jennifer Francis is a senior researcher at the Woodhulls Research Facility. The impact of melting polar ice caps on storms has recently become a hot-button issue, and it's one that she's put her focus on. She's going to be at Books and Books in Coral Gables tonight for an event, and she joins us now from WXEL Studios in Boynton Beach. Dr. Francis, I appreciate the time.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
When did the scientific community begin to look at the impacts of climate change and especially Arctic melting on the impacts of hurricanes?
Well, it's actually a very new area of research connecting what's been going on in the Arctic with extreme weather of all sorts. So not just hurricanes, but storms up in the northern parts of the United States, and also droughts and heat waves and all kinds of extreme events. And I do want to correct one thing that you said. Over the last three or four decades, the Arctic sea ice has diminished by half, not by 10%.
Thank you for the correction.
A huge change. So, and we're looking at the Arctic warming 2 to 3 times faster than the rest of the globe. And we'll talk about what that means for extreme weather.
So is there a correlation then? Can we say there is a correlation between, you know, climate change, but especially when we're talking about the Arctic melting to hurricanes?
Yes, we can. And I'll try to explain in simple terms of what we think is going on. So first of all, everybody needs to recognize that the fuel that drives hurricanes is really the heat in the atmosphere and the heat in the ocean and the water vapor in the atmosphere. And as we're warming the earth, because we're increasing the amount of so-called greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, particularly carbon dioxide, we are warming the oceans, we're warming the air, and because of that, we're seeing more evaporation from the oceans, and that's putting more water vapor into the atmosphere. That water vapor is incredibly important because when it condenses into clouds, it releases heat into the atmosphere, and hurricanes especially feed off that heat. So by warming the globe, we're increasing the fuel available for hurricanes to become stronger. So the connection to the Arctic here is that as we lose all that sea ice and snow up in the Arctic area, you can think of it as we're losing the Earth's mirror. The Arctic ice and the snow cover reflect a lot of the sun's energy right back to outer space, so it never enters the climate system at all. But by losing all that snow and ice, we're now absorbing a lot more of that energy into the Earth's climate system. And it's been estimated in some recent studies that global warming is between 25 and 40% higher because of the loss of sea ice and snow in the Arctic. So by losing this mirror in the Arctic, we're increasing global warming, we're adding to the warming of the oceans, and we're providing more fuel for hurricanes. So what we think that's going to translate to, and what we've already seen in some of the past several decades, is a tendency for more of the strongest hurricanes, so Category 4 and 5, and also a tendency for these storms to intensify more rapidly.
Let's look at two specifically, Florence and Harvey, Hurricanes Florence and Harvey. In what ways can we say that everything that you've been talking about and these changes in our atmosphere impacted the way Florence and Harvey behaved?
Right. And there's another element that I haven't talked about yet. But just to start with, Harvey became intense very, very rapidly just before it came ashore. And that is a very difficult thing for hurricane forecasters to predict, is the speed of that intensification. The other very unusual thing about Harvey is that it stopped when it got to the coast, and it just stayed in one place for a couple of days and dumped over 50 inches of rain in the Houston area. So one of the contributions of climate change to that story is that rapid intensification, and also all that extra water vapor in the atmosphere is tending to make not just hurricanes, but all storms dump more moisture, dump more rain onto wherever they happen to hit. So Hurricane Harvey came into the coast and stopped, and Florence did exactly the same thing. And Florence also dumped incredible amounts of rain onto the Carolinas, also contributed by the very warm waters off of the Carolinas and the extra water vapor in the atmosphere.
And now, then you look at Hurricane Michael, because you talked about increasing intensity so quickly. Michael, and it was just recently upgraded from a Category 4 to a 5, and within 24 hours, it was in the Gulf of Mexico, within 24 hours, it just became this massive, powerful storm.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. The intensification of hurricanes has been documented as happening much more rapidly, and that's expected to increase even further in the future. And the intensity of tropical storms is still a very difficult thing for hurricane forecasters to predict, because it's not just related to the temperature of the ocean, but it's how deep that layer of ocean is warm. And so if you have a shallow layer of warm water sitting on top of, say, a colder layer, then there's not that much energy available for the storm. But if that layer is very deep, then it can provide a lot of energy for that storm. And we just don't have the data to tell us how deep those layers are in many cases. So that's a huge area of research that's happening right now, is to try to do a better job of understanding where those deep heat layers are, so that, because that affects the intensification of the storm so dramatically.
I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer Francis, senior researcher at the Woods Hole Research Center in Massachusetts. She's focused on the impact of melting polar ice caps on hurricanes. She will be at Books and Books tonight for an event, and we have the details on our social media, WLRN Sundial, if in case you're interested to check it out. You were talking about it's difficult to predict, those factors that help in building the intensity of the storm. I wanted to ask you about, there's research coming out of Rutgers University where they have basically developed some sort of autonomous vehicle that they're putting in the ocean to measure water temperatures. Is this part of trying to understand that, getting that data?
Yes, it is, absolutely. And they're at one of the forefront universities working on this particular project. So they've developed an underwater autonomous vehicle, or a glider, that they can set off on its own with a pre-programmed course to follow, or they can guide it from land and steer it right into the paths of tropical storms as they're coming up the coast, so that they can get a much better understanding of exactly how much heat there is available in that upper layer of the ocean, how deep that heat extends. And that will make a big difference to the accuracy of the intensification of these storms.
Is that different information than what the hurricane hunter planes are already trying to gather when they're flying through storms and they're dropping, I guess, different sensors out into the storm and in the water to see what's going on?
Yeah, so hurricane hunters generally drop what's called a drop sonde, and that is mainly designed to measure what's going on in the atmosphere and not so much down deeper into the ocean. So those drop sondes are sort of like a weather balloon, but instead of being let off from the land and they float up through the atmosphere, they're dropped from an airplane, and they can do that at a much higher density in space, and they get a lot more detailed information about the storm. And that's why they're doing that from those airplanes flying into tropical storms.
So we've seen, as mentioned at the beginning of this segment, that over the last 40, 50 years, these incredible changes in our polar regions, and it just, it begs the question, what can we expect of hurricane tracks and hurricane intensity if those polar caps continue to melt?
Well, one aspect we haven't talked about yet is the steering of hurricanes. And this is another way that the melting Arctic is playing a role, but it's also a very new research topic. It's one that I and a lot of people around the world now are working on. And what we think is happening is that because, as I mentioned, the Arctic is warming so much faster than elsewhere, it's the difference in temperature between the Arctic and areas farther south that create the, what we call the jet stream, which is a fast-moving river of air that travels around the northern hemisphere. It creates storms and it steers storms, including tropical storms. And as we warm the Arctic faster than elsewhere, we're seeing the winds of the jet stream weaken, and we're also seeing the jet stream take bigger swings northward and southward. And we think what's happening is because those waves are, we're seeing those very wavy patterns happening more often, those big waves also move much more slowly from west to east. And so they're tending to set up these patterns in the atmosphere that can cause tropical storms to basically get stuck in place. We saw this with Hurricane Sandy, where it got steered in a very unusual course because of these one of these very large waves in the jet stream. And we saw this happen also with Florence, where one of these large waves basically sent it into South Carolina, but then left it high and dry with no winds at all to steer it. So we're seeing these very interesting erratic behaviors of tracks of tropical storms, especially late season storms. So think Sandy and think Florence. And we expect that to be a bigger issue as we go forward in time and the ice continues to melt and the atmosphere continues to warm.
Does that mean that we would probably also see hurricanes hitting different parts of the country that we're usually not used to seeing?
Yes, that's probably going to be true as well, because as the oceans warm, hurricanes can survive farther north. So as they travel, say, up along the East Coast, instead of transitioning to a non-tropical storm, they can stay a hurricane longer because of those much warmer ocean patterns. And so that is, you know, we'll probably see a higher frequency of hurricanes hitting states that are farther north than you'd typically see them hit, especially late in the season.
Have our efforts to slow down the carbon emissions had any effect, or do we just see again do we see the glaciers, do we see the polar caps still melting away?
Well, of course, everything that we're doing to help that situation does make a difference. So switching over to renewable energy sources, you know, everything we can do to not burn fossil fuels is going to help. But sadly, what's happened so far is nowhere near enough to turn around this trajectory that we're on in terms of warming and melting. In fact, this year, emissions hit an all-time high, and we're right now the amount of carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere is the highest it's been in 3 million years. The last time there was this much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the oceans were 20 meters higher. So this is the trajectory that we're on. And that's why we're hearing so many people come out and really being concerned about not doing enough soon enough. And we really do need to get behind this ball and cut down the emissions to zero if possible. And that's going to require some big changes in our energy structure of our economy, not just for us, but around the world.
What are the next steps for your research? Where are the greatest opportunities, you know, on this issue that we can learn more and do more?
Well, I'm focused on continuing to understand how the rapidly changing Arctic is affecting not just storms, but all sorts of weather extremes. We've seen much worse heat waves striking all around the Northern Hemisphere in the last few summers. We've seen much more extreme droughts. We've seen flooding. The East Coast had the wettest winter on record. So all sorts of extremes. And in different seasons and in different parts of the Northern Hemisphere, we're learning that there are different mechanisms that make this connection between the rapidly warming Arctic and these types of extreme weather in different parts of the Northern Hemisphere. So there's still a lot to learn. The atmosphere is a very complicated, chaotic system, and so it's a very difficult task to try to untangle this particular factor affecting extreme weather while a lot of other changes are happening simultaneously in the system. So untangling these various factors is a real challenge. It's going to keep us busy for a while.
Dr. Jennifer Francis, senior researcher at the Woods Hole Research Center in Massachusetts. She's at Books and Books tonight. We have details on our social media, WLRN Sundial. Dr. Francis, thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome. Anytime.